You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
We'll be talking with Ross Greenberg at the bottom of this hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He did a documentary 20 years after 9/11. A lot of Bobby Valentine and Joe Torre and reminiscing and how it was to bring sports back, and just a neat documentary that's going to be airing this Saturday.
Yeah.
This Saturday on HBO.
Yeah, 9/11. Yeah, on HBO Max. And you think about it, in the times that we've been on the radio, we have been through two times. Of course, they were national concerns, but you know, how sports carried on and what happened with sports, no matter what your political leanings are, you know, I think that watching George Bush come out there and deliver that strike from a baseball standpoint was like, especially at that time, was such a big deal. Feels like, come on, he's just throwing a pitch. But I don't know. At the time, you watched that, it felt way, way, way different, especially after the nation had been attacked and we weren't, you know, people weren't just politically at war with each other all the time. You had the football. I remember I went to my dad had his first football game as an NFL coach, was with the Cleveland Browns, and that was the year in 2001. And first time ever coaching in the NFL, and the season was put on hold. That first game, remember, was put on hold because of the terror attack. And I remember when they did play it, if I remember correctly, that was the case. Yeah, I'm almost positive it was put on hold. And then for that Sunday, and then we went to that game. I remember my wife and I did, and we watched, I think they played Seattle. And I remember, you know, the sentiments in the stands. I went to my first UFC fight after 9/11, about 3 weeks after, two or three weeks after. And it was in Vegas, and it was weird getting on flights, but even getting on flights was weird. I mean, Vegas was still a ghost town. People weren't flying. After 9/11, people stopped flying for a while. There was a lot of panic.
Well,
and concern. Vegas was a ghost town on my
3 weeks later, I flew to Tennessee to watch LSU play Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a couple weeks later, the air was open, right. Back up. And I got on, and I'm sitting in the aisle, and this guy's walking down the aisle, and he looks at me, and he goes, "I got your back. You got my back?" And I was like, "Yeah, I got your back."
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. This wow. actually happened. I was like,
"No, people, like, it was a, no, no, it no, was no, a no, thing no. now."
Yeah. And listen, you like it or not, you were wary of people that, you know, there was concern
all the time.
All the time. And it was really a heightened, oh, my God. We were on red alert for how long? Honestly.
For a long time.
Yeah.
It seemed like. And it was, and how sports went on after that. It wasn't just a given that you get back in. And now we've had the pandemic and what that's done to sports. But 9/11, like, they got back to sports. It took, it didn't take, obviously, as long as the pandemic. But those are two major issues that kind of changed, like there were, getting into stadiums changed fundamentally forever. The clear bags at Reliant Stadium.
Yeah.
The amount of security that goes into that, you know, our trips to airports, we don't even think about it anymore, but you used to be able to pull up, park, get in, go right down to the gate. And when people came out of the gate, you were there to welcome them. You know, we forget that that's been out now for damn near 20 years. We haven't been able to do that. Just everything at sporting events with security that we take for granted now, a lot of it was implemented around 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. So we'll have him on and we'll talk about that. 9/11 is coming up this Saturday. We'll see a lot of it this college football Saturday. So that is going to be a great thing. Did you see this story about now? You remember last year when the Broncos had to use their practice squad wide receiver at quarterback?
Yeah. That went poorly. If you thought you're going to play an over and try to take advantage of that 33, wrong.
Well, see, but we saw all kinds of games postponed.
What was it? What was the guy's name? I remember writing him up. He was a former high school quarterback.
Yeah, it was. What was his name?
Kendall Hinton, right?
What? Yes,
Kendall Hinton.
Yeah, that's right, from Wake Forest.
Yeah. And so they had to use him a quarter. It was awful. That's all he could do was run around. It was just awful. It was horrible. Well, the Broncos were like, hey, what the hell? We've seen the Ravens game, the Steelers games be postponed. You go from Sunday until Tuesday they're playing games, and yet we got to play in week 12, and we got to play our practice squad wide receiver. Well, there was a reason for it. According to Sam Farmer of the Los Angeles Times, he published a lengthy feature that examined the many challenges the NFL faced last season. In the story, he revealed that the NFL denied the Broncos' request to postpone their game after league officials determined that the Broncos tried to fool the system. Apparently, they had video of the quarterbacks in the room. Surveillance footage revealed that Denver's quarterbacks all removed their contract tracing devices, put them in four separate corners of the film room, and then they all sat close to each other to watch film, which is kind of dumb. Yeah. Why do you have to sit close to each other to watch film?
You don't.
No, you don't.
Now, 6 feet apart is a little trickier, but it's not the end of the world.
But
you can watch tape 6 feet apart.
But if it's, and oh, by the way, your contract.
You ever seen real sports? Not real sports. Hard Knocks, when they're in the quarterback rooms, there's plenty of room there. You don't, every room has enough room. Well, I've been to Texas A&M and watched tape up there. They have these individual meeting rooms for position groups. There's plenty of room that you could spread out.
Well, apparently Jeff Driscoll tested positive for COVID. And then Drew Lock, Brett Rypien, and Blake Bortles.
Dummies.
They took off their devices.
That's why they ended up with Kendall Hinton?
Yes.
Because they all got it.
Because they,
and you know how contagious.
Well, they were all close. They were all close to him because they took off. Why do you have a device, contact tracing device, that you can actually take off?
How much did they get fined for that?
I don't know what their fine
was. That's one of those things where the NFL will fine you $1 million.
But I certainly can't blame Goodell for saying, screw you guys. We look what we got here.
No, I don't blame him at all.
Elway was so furious with the NFL, he admitted earlier this year that he hung up on the league office because he was so angry that the game was not postponed. He was, you know, and Goodell said, no, look what you guys were doing.
Look what they're doing now. They're telling you the same thing. We're not postponing anything.
No. Nope.
If you have a position group, and I'm sure this is because of Denver, if you get a position group that forces you to where you can't play, you're all your offensive linemen get it, all your defensive linemen, and you can't play a game, then we're going to forfeit. Then you'll forfeit the game. And you won't get paid. And the other team won't get paid. So what they're, and the other team is like, what the hell? Hey, if we don't play a game, nobody gets paid. And so what they're basically telling them is, can you please, guys, just follow the rules? That's all they're asking them.
I mean, Goodell was in the right, because if he hadn't punished them, then the Broncos know that they can get away with it.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Players talk to each other after games, and then you just go, yeah, man, we were able to. You know, if you take off those contract traces, you just put them all separate, you can all do whatever the hell you want. You can all be sitting right next to each other in the cafeteria while you're eating lunch.
Yeah,
work travels. You have to drop the hammer on that of, hey, this wasn't an option to wear these. You wear these and you stay separate, dummies.
Right. And they had proof that they didn't. We got a couple of minutes here. I can't disagree with this more. Where do you think the Texans are ranked in the NFL by backup quarterback?
I think the Texans are ranked by backup quarterback.
Okay, Yardbarker ranked every NFL team by their backup quarterback.
28?
No, they're 30th. I think you were a little bad. Okay.
Okay.
Apparently, the Jets are the worst with Mike White as their backup quarterback. Yeah. Logan Woodside of the Titans is second to worst. And then Davis Mills is third.
So you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that. They have, David Blough. They have Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley had a really good preseason.
From Utah.
Yeah. Jacob Eason is 27th. Kellen Mond is 26th. Josh Rosen is 25th. I mean,
we're not doing that.
Josh Rosen, who's been cut by like,
just because you know who Josh Rosen is, it doesn't mean that you can have him. He's been cut by like five teams.
PJ Walker is 23rd. PJ Walker should be second. Okay, yeah. Second. He's one of the great backup quarterbacks in the league today. That's right. You're damn right. Brian Hoyer is 19th. Sorry, we've seen there. Mason Rudolph, 17th. So who do you think has the best backup situation today?
The best backup situation would be Raiders.
The Raiders have Marcus Mariota. He's 5th.
Okay. How about the Colts? Let me see. Titans, Ravens, Steelers.
All right, I'll give it to you.
I don't know.
Justin Fields, 1.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They got Trey Lance, 2, and they got Taysom Hill, 3.
Young quarterbacks, yeah. I got you. Okay,
Case Keenum, 4, not a young quarterback.
Yeah.
That's a good situation to be in.
Case Keenum's going to be playing when he's 36 years old.
You think he'll beat out Baker Mayfield at any point this year?
No, I do not.
You do not.
But wherever he goes, he eventually becomes quarterback.
Jacoby Brissett.
How old is Case Keenum?
Case,
we had him here on the show.
Yeah.
How old is
Case Keenum? In studio we had him. Case Keenum is 32.
33 years old.
33. Okay.
Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Playing football all those years. Bill O'Brien told him he wasn't good enough to be an NFL player, not even as a third stringer. Then he brought him back as a Houston quarterback later that same year.
Yeah.
Look at him. I mean, he started playing in the league when he was 24 years old in 2012. And here he is, 2020. He's, you know, he actually caught a good payday at one point. I'm trying to see if they have their paychecks on Pro Football Reference. They don't. But Case Keenum's carved out a nice, you know, he is who he is. There's no surprises. He's good up to a point, and then he's probably not going to get you further than that. Kind of like Ryan. If there was Ryan Fitzpatrick should go in the Hall of Fame on just a very special backup quarterback exemption.
Well, then okay, Earl Morrall would be in that Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Earl Morrall
probably
came in.
So.
Yeah.
That was when they used to handle quarterbacks totally different.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid thinking when I was starting reading the history of how the Colts operated, I'm like, wait a minute. They just played either Unitas or Moore. How did that work out?
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, it's just sometimes you just, hey, you know what? Yeah. Starters doesn't have it right now. We're going to the bullpen. Bring in Giff Nielsen
right.
for Pastorini. Bring in Cody Carlson for Warren Moon. Like, what?
Don Strock.
The idea
Frank
of bringing
Reich.
In a second quarterback. And guess what?
The next game, it just went back to normal. Everything was fine. That's all. Now it'd be such a controversy.
Steve A. Smith would be
be there anymore? Do you think he'll hold out now or
There's
try
no
to get
chance
traded?
That you're going to have a player who is put on the bench who you're going to go back to.
Aqueduct Plumbing Company. I'm going back to them. It's the home of the $49.94 one-day repipe. They're at your disposal. Do you see, that's kind of a neat thing that they did there. Yeah, I don't know. I think Mary made that up. Or did Mary or Michelle make that up?
Mary.
Mary did. Yeah. Well, you know what?
I don't know, yeah.
No, I think it was Michelle.
You might have been.
And you know what? It was like, that's catchy. They're at your disposal. Don't wait for property damage or mold invasion or deep freezes. You got to repipe right now. So they expand when it freezes. This is kind of a big deal. Y'all still might have copper piping, and that's not a good thing, especially when it freezes. Then we might have a freeze again next week. You don't know. You just don't know. They're going to arrive at your door, install, buy them, not a subcontractor, and they do it in one day.
Yeah.
Get a professional job at a direct price.
Guys, they do everything. I mean, and even if you don't need, maybe you say, I've got tankless water heater. I just got repiped. You know what? You're going to have a plumbing issue at some point. Why don't you make sure that you go to the Aqueduct Plumbing Company website, take their number down, and just have them on standby because they're a company that you can trust. And first and foremost, we want to send you to companies that you can trust, especially when it comes to plumbing. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
All right. Time for me to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. And I really, this is a dealership that you're going. And you know what? It's about people. It's about people doing their best for you. It's about getting that vehicle that you can, that Ford car or truck at the best price you can possibly get it. You, my friends, are you care about the car. You care about – this is like a five-year or six-year – I don't know how long you're going to it's an investment that you're going to be paying off every month. The first thing that they're going to ask you is, where do the payments have to be? Because we don't want you to be strapped every month. We want you to be able to get in that car or truck, and we want it to be at the best price for you. But we want you to get the best vehicle that you can possibly get as well. And they're going to work Ford hard for that deal. They're going to get you all of the rebates that they can possibly get you, and they're going to get it to you at the best price. It's why they're the number one Ford business retailer in this or dealership in this city, and they want to do that on the retail side as well, and they can be, and they will be. They're growing. They're better than ever. You are going to get the best deal at Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all online at ChastainFord.com.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The number if you would like to get in here and hang with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Not that it matters. So if you were to rank after the first weekend, who was the most impressive teams? How would you rank the top teams today after what you saw in week one? Alabama's number one.
Without a doubt.
Alabama kicked ass. Alabama's Alabama. Bryce Young looks unbelievable. Bryce Young is a beast, and they're going to be really, really, really good all year. As a matter of fact, it's not the favorite, but right now, what kind of odds would it take you to pick Alabama to be undefeated this year? What would be the worst odds that you would take for Alabama to go undefeated?
Probably just because I'm not as worried about injury because Nick Saban just reloads and he's got so many in the chamber.
Well, they're going to be favored every game.
The lowest I would take, probably plus 250.
That's plus 250, which is 2.5 to 1.
Yep.
2.5 to 1. That's kind of low for undefeated season. What's the lowest you would take for Alabama to go undefeated this year?
Well, what do you mean lowest I would take?
Three to one. Or what would be the lowest odds that you would take? I mean, obviously, you take 10 to 1. Yeah, I'd take Alabama go 10 to 1.
Honestly, probably plus 160.
160? Uh-huh. Really? Undefeated?
That's low, isn't it?
That's really low.
I'm just saying. Who's beating them?
Well, Georgia in the championship game.
How are they scoring?
Well, that is true.
I don't know how Georgia's scoring. They had their top two wide receivers.
Don't forget,
though,
Clemson plays pretty good defense. A bunch of white guys, but they play defense.
Clemson plays no offense. So how are you going to keep up? Like, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, do I have a team that can get into the 30s if need be in offense? It ain't LSU, I don't think. I mean, LSU's offense is okay, but I mean, the Aggies are the team that I think have the best shot, even more than Georgia. I think the Aggies had the best.
Ooh, I don't know. Georgia's, ooh.
They have defense, a mobile quarterback, a running game that can slow down.
But Georgia
the pace
will
of the
be
game.
Able to stop Alabama, too.
I love Georgia's defense. I just, if you can't score, I don't know how you can win.
So Alabama's number one. They've got Georgia now number two, moved up after their win. I mean, you play Clemson in week one and you win the football game despite what you look like. They're going to look better offensively this year. JT Daniels will get better. Okay. Todd Monken, now in his second season there.
They call him Funkin' Monken.
No, they don't call him that.
They might call him that.
They don't
call
him that. No, I know that.
I would if I were there.
They got Ohio State 3. Ohio State didn't look great. C.J. Stroud started slow, but then he picked it up.
He looked okay.
They got OU 4.
How'd you like Mo Ibrahim running for 163 on him and 30 carries through like three quarters? Was that any good?
That wasn't.
Did that make you feel good about that defense?
No.
At Ohio State?
No.
I mean, he was gashing them.
He didn't have either of his corners there, though, either. Don't forget. Of course, the corners doesn't matter in the run. I'm not going to give up on OU yet. I mean,
I give up on them from being a – I don't think they're a contender for a championship.
I don't know. I mean, that might be a wake-up call for all of
them. It could be, and sometimes you go back and you look at a game later in the year and you go, you know what? We are hard on Oklahoma. Look how tough Tulane actually ends up being.
Yeah.
They got a really good offensive line coach there. Willie Fritz, I think very highly of Willie Fritz as a coach. Tulane's a little saltier than people probably expect. With that said, though, I'm just not all in on Spencer Rattler. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just not all in on Spencer.
I'm going to be at the end of the season. I'm telling. I think he'll be able to turn it around. He'll be much better. They got the Aggies. Do the Aggies look like a number five overall team to you?
Not to me, but Jimbo was very happy with what he saw.
Yeah,
I didn't think I came away from yesterday's conversation.
You had questioned the decision making, and you said no. His decisions
Haynes
were
King,
fine.
He said no. Two wide receiver issues on two of those.
Yeah,
three interceptions.
Yeah.
So.
And then the other one was blocked at the line. A tip ball.
I'm waiting to see on A&M. Did they look like it the other day? No, but they also have four new offensive linemen and a new quarterback. That's not going to gel right away.
Yeah.
And they still ended up covering.
They got Clemson as six. I'm telling you, here's the deal now. You know, they can't lose another game, but their schedule is so weak. You know what? They might struggle to make the playoff this year.
Could.
Yeah.
They could.
No, another loss and they're done.
No, they have no
they're
chance.
They're done. Cincinnati looked really damn good, okay? But that was, you know, Murray State. They got Murray State this weekend. They played Miami of Ohio. You got to, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But that's you know what? Luke Fickell's putting together a machine over there. He's doing a nice job. It won't be long before Luke Fickell's got himself another big job.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying why you got him this year in 2021, yeah, Cincinnati. Right. That's not lasting very long.
And then Notre Dame, did you believe in Jack Cohn this weekend?
He looked good. I wasn't a big Jack Cohn truther, but he looks a lot better than Graham Mertz over there. But, Jack Cohn, he looked solid. He looked solid. Once again, it's relative to, you know, can he help them? Can he help them bounce back? Not bounce back, but can he help them transition from Ian Book over to, you know, his brand of football? And can he keep Notre Dame on track? I mean, the answer in game one against a Florida State team that's clearly getting better than they were, you know, it looked pretty good in week one.
Mm-hmm. And then the last two on the top 10, Iowa State and Iowa are 9-10, and they're playing each other this week.
I know. It's the Loose Meats Bowl. I'm excited about that.
The what?
Loose Meats. You ever had a loose meat sandwich? I haven't had it. I saw it on Guy Fieri one time.
I don't even know what that means.
Where you see me show the respect to your Italian people, Guy Fieri. I call him Fieri instead of saying Fieri. Yeah, you just take, it's very Iowa. You just take hamburger meat and you chop it up to where it's basically just ground hamburger meat. And I think you put stuff on it, and then you put it in a sandwich. Kind of like a sloppy Joe, but for Midwestern people.
Boy, I hope for Tony's sake that
isn't sloppy
Iowa
Joe for
them.
Midwestern people.
Isn't Tony?
Yeah, Tony, our guy Tony is Eric Cartman. He is he's an Iowa guy, and it's gonna stink for him.
Watch yourself against Brock Purdy. He's gonna kick your ass. Tony.
Iowa State's gonna
8:27.
Gonna take him out.
Greenberg is next, the former president of HBO Sports. He's got the extra innings from 9/11, 20 years later, that we'll talk about on the other side. But right now, we're talking about Get Roman. Look, sometimes you got a problem. If you got a problem, you take care of a problem. Am I right or am I right? Take care of your business here in the boudoir, because you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have that nervous, that anxiety. You just don't need it anymore because you got Get Roman. GetRoman.com/John. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for your ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. You're going to talk to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. And if they find that the best treatment is medication, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Get started right now. It's simple. GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com. GetRoman.com/John. Complete your online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Go to GetRoman.com/John and get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, I'm just trying to help you find a little bit of money to put back in your bank account and use it where you need to use it. And you shouldn't be just, if I had a chance to tell you when you were buying, you know, you're out there buying your shirts. You get the same T-shirt you love to get every time, or your shoes. And I told you, why are you spending $200 for those shoes? I got a place where you can get it for $140. It's the same exact shoe. Well, that's what's going on right now with homeowners insurance. I've got A-rated insurance companies, multiple that TGS Insurance works with. When you text the word money to them to 232323, they get you hooked up with all these companies. They take your address, they send it to these companies, and their algorithm creates the firm pricing quote for your homeowners insurance with an A-rated company, and you can compare that against what you're spending right now. If you're somebody who stayed with the same company for years and years and years, chances are you are way overpaying. Let A-rated insurance companies have a shot at giving you competitive pricing, and you're going to find that the average savings is over $900 annually with TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 833 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Very nice to bring in the former HBO sports president and current executive producer of the documentary Extra Innings from 9/11, 20 years later, Ross Greenberg, winner of 51 sports Emmys and 8 Peabody Awards. Obviously decorated. He was with HBO for 33 years, and he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ross, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, good. Great to be here, John. Good to be with you this nice, beautiful day in New York.
Oh, we got it. It's beautiful down here, too. That's great to hear. After all the flooding, hopefully you were okay through that.
Yeah, we did okay. We're getting some rain tonight, so it's supposed to be pretty heavy downpour, so people are a little skittish up here. But it's been a tough time up here, and, reminiscent of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, obviously what went on in New York 20 years ago this Saturday. And it will start on HBO. Talk about making this reliving this for you, and how, as the executive producer, how detailed it is and everything else, how difficult and yet how rewarding it must have been for you doing this project.
Yeah, well, actually, executive producer Sandy Montag called me about 8-10 months ago and asked me if I wanted to produce and direct this. And, given my past experience on this subject matter, the fact is, in 2005, Joe Levine and I, took on the project of doing this kind of documentary called Nine Innings from Ground Zero. But we were 20 years later, and we were looking at this in a different light. I have a personal experience through Houston, believe it or not, John. My mom grew up in Houston and lived the latter part of her life in Houston. On September 9th, 2001, she passed away in Houston. And I was down there on Tuesday, September 11th, in her apartment waiting for her funeral that morning when the planes hit. And so I actually had to take a Greyhound bus from Houston to rejoin my family in New York. And then a month and a half later, found myself in a baseball stadium called Yankee Stadium for Game 3 of the World Series. And as you remember, Houston's own George W. Bush, threw out that first pitch to kind of alert America that I'm safe here, so you're going to be safe. Do not worry. And, of course, my wife was worried they were going to bomb the stadium, but I felt like I needed to get there for some degree of normalcy in my life after the hectic, crazy couple of months of losing my mom and then 9/11, feeling the impact in New York of 9/11. So anyway, so So the next day after that game, I took Joe Levine and executive producer Rick Bernstein in my office, and I said, I don't know when, but we're going to make a documentary on this. Well, lo and behold, now 20 years later, we made a different documentary on this. So it's been quite a ride, but a very emotional ride, and I think, you know, people will take away quite a bit from this film that we put together.
Ross Greenberg joins us, and we're talking about this documentary that you've got coming out on HBO Max. And, you know, you're an expert storyteller. The way that – and I have so much – this is Lance Erline, by the way. I have so much respect for the work you've done with the Hard Knocks and the Real Sports. And I think that you have – and the way that you've done boxing over the years has really changed the storytelling and the narratives in sports for us as consumers and you know, people who work in the business. I'm curious, though, as someone who lived in New York and lived through it, how difficult was this trying to storyboard this documentary and put everything together? Did it drum up the emotions and things that have happened in the past with you through the 9/11, you know, through what you went through?
Yeah, very much. You know, we focused on taking the average day American, the person who lost a loved one in 9/11 and had a tie to baseball and used baseball in those moments after 9/11 to kind of relift their spirits a bit. You know, the message that we sent, we enlisted Joe Torre and Bobby Valentine right off the top because they were so active right after 9/11 in New York with their Mets and Yankees. So that was very important. They're executive producers on the project, and they're our guide. And that was very important to us. But we also went after people like Brielle Saraceni, who we had met when she was 11. Now she's a young lady 20 years later with a husband, and we introduced them to the surprise kind of unity that they formed after 9/11. And I'll let this film tell the story of that. We found Carol Geese, whose husband was a driver of one of the fire trucks that went there. You know, we just, Karen Barbara, whose dad, you know, took firemen into the towers and lost his life. So we took a lot of people we had met, but new faces, new families, and introduced them. But, of course, we also talked, you know, to the Bernie Williams and the Mike Piazzas and the Al Leiters and the John Francos, those that lived it from the field. Because the moments in baseball will never be forgotten. You know, the electricity of Piazza's home run and games 3, 4, and 5 in Yankee Stadium of the World Series. You know, you're never going to see moments like that again because there never is going to be that kind of traumatic experience followed by these historic moments in baseball that were really magnified by the events of 9/11. So all of those memories came rushing back to me and to Joe Levine, and we just wanted to kind of bring those back home. We wanted to introduce a lot of those feelings and moments to 20-year-olds that had never even experienced 9/11. We wanted to explain what the world and what the city and what life was like in the United States at that moment. You know, so it was a difficult but rewarding experience for us.
Ross Greenberg. Produced and directed Extra Innings from 9/11, 20 years later. You mentioned, it's indelible in my mind, the Bush first pitch, but Piazza in his Hall of Fame speech, he had 427 homers. The only one he mentioned was the one after 9/11 that against the Braves. Which do you think will live on the longest?
There's no question that home run will live on the longest. I'm getting chills thinking about it and also thinking about how he expresses it in the documentary. I mean, he even says there will never be a home run that he ever hits with more impact than one that he'll remember as much as that moment and that day and that launch over the center field wall. You know, it's very emotional. And when you see the way we project it, it's something that, you know, lifted the cork out of the champagne bottle, as they say. Specifically, that was a Bobby Valentine quote. I'm sorry, that was a Mike Piazza quote, and then Bobby Valentine just let out a we can breathe again is how he projected that. So, you know, I don't think he'll ever forget it. I don't think anyone around the country will ever forget it. And if you didn't see it, you'll get a chance to understand it more and its significance. But I think Piazza himself, that's why it was the only home run mentioned in that Hall of Fame speech. It was that important. By the way, he looks like he could still play. I've never seen a guy not age in my life.
No, it's unbelievable. The documentary is Extra Innings from 9/11, 20 years later, and Ross Greenberg is our guest right now and directed and put together what is just a fantastic doc. Not a surprise based on, like I said, the storytelling you do. You know, from in terms of putting this together and the storytelling and when you went through everything and you wanted to tell a story, but how much did you, you know, how much did you want to get into at any point how 9/11 has changed sports for us? Because John and I talked about it. We were on the radio when everything happened, and we were, people heard us and experienced 9/11 through us on the radio, some people here in Houston. I'm curious that element of what happened with sports afterwards, because when we go into baseball stadiums, football stadiums, basketball arenas, it's all different now because of 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, the national anthem and the God Bless America after the seventh inning at baseball games, that all, you know, particularly God Bless America, was initiated after 9/11, a sense of pride in this country. As Ari Fleischer says in the docu, when Bush exited the mound and started walking back to the dugout, and the chants of USA, USA were reverberating all over Yankee Stadium in a sound that I heard firsthand that I've never heard at the old Yankee Stadium before. And that was a loud, loud stadium. You know, he said there weren't Democrats and Republicans cheering. There were just Americans that were trying to get some semblance of normalcy back in their lives and were rooting for this country to come back from this horrific terrorist attack. So I think that that changed. You know, now communally, when people get together, hopefully post-pandemic, all of this political garbage will get thrown away, and we can go back to really loving this country for what it is all over again. And you know, hopefully it won't take an horrific event like that. Maybe it'll, you know, just be coming out of this crazy pandemic that we live in to do that. But that's, I think, one of the major takeaways of this film.
Ross Greenberg, if I could take a side turn for a minute. Ross was the president of HBO Sports from 2000 to 2011, but he was there for 33 years. I was introduced to HBO movies. And how much did sports inside the NFL, real sports with Bryant Gumbel, all your boxing, HBO World Championship Boxing, how much did sports move the needle and put HBO in a different stratosphere?
I think we moved the needle a lot. You know, it's, when I got there in 1978, it was predominantly a sports network. Movies were just starting to break through after you saw them in the theater for 3 or 4 months, then HBO would get them, and that was revolutionary. Michael Fuchs, the then CEO at the time, kind of revolutionized it as well with introducing series and other shows, you know, comedy specials, music specials, anything that wasn't on the broadcast networks. And we forget that HBO is this new entity and this new brand of television. And so as I grew up there, I saw the change happening before my eyes. And I think, you know, when I introduced Real Sports and I introduced Hard Knocks and reality form television like 24/7, I think we added a new jolt. And, you know, while we were doing that from 1985 on, you know, I introduced the documentary filmmaking genre at HBO. Mm-hmm. And I think that changed the face of sports television as we know it. You know, we must have produced somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 or so, or closer to 100 documentaries before I left in 2011, and they've continued the tradition on now. And this is, of course, on HBO Max, sister of HBO. So, you know, the documentary, sports documentary, is now taken seriously. A lot of other divisions of major companies have decided to get into that world. There are a lot of documentary filmmakers focusing on sports nowadays, and it's here to stay, and I'm proud of what we did at HBO to kind of pioneer it.
Got
to
ask you, so the thing that stands out, you know, I was a huge boxing fan, and so HBO Boxing was where, you know, you guys were the ones who pulled in Mike Tyson. You brought Mike Tyson in, and we saw those fights for free. That would have been early in your career over at can you talk about that and how influential were you as part of that to make that happen?
Well, I mean, I was one of many, but we knew that there was something special going on in northern New York. And so I actually went up there to Troy, New York, as a guest of Jimmy Jacobs, his then manager, to sit ringside with Jimmy and watch this phenom. He had sent me a videotape of his first 13 fights, and they were obviously all knockouts within three rounds. But when I saw that, I wanted to see it for myself. So when I came back from there, I told Seth Abraham, we've got to get this kid. This is ridiculous. This kid is electric. You know, I saw the arena light up when he walked out. And then, of course, he had a spectacular knockout. And so, you know, from then on, we started with a three-fight deal, and then he made his way into the World Heavyweight Series that we had set up. And, you know, Seth and I were, like, adamant that this was a special talent, and we had to go full bore in production and showcase this incredible story, you know, with Customato and everything else coming from, you know, the tough times. And rising up as heavyweight champion. Of course, the downfall was difficult, and we, you know, we lost him in the 90s. He went off to Showtime, but I think he left an indelible mark, particularly in the time period that he was on HBO. But before that, don't forget, you know, with the great director Mark Payton, who lives and breathes in Houston, Texas, by the way, retired now. We showcased Leonard Hagler, Hearns, and Duran.
Oh yeah,
in the '80s as well. Not exactly, you know, chopped liver.
No, awesome. You had. I mean, you're even selling that short. Leonard Hagler, Hearns, Duran.
Oh my God!
Yeah, John the Beast Mugabe. Who I don't know if he was an HBO. I mean, I know he was on ABC.
I remember watching a couple of them.
Did you?
But Larry Holmes.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And Holmes was just kind of just sitting there dominating the division.
Didn't you offer Buster Douglas and he turned it down, and which was a horrible business decision for him?
What happened with Buster was he was a 42-1 underdog, and we found ourselves in Tokyo. There was, I think, one writer that came over to Tokyo in order to, you know, take that back to the United States. And lo and behold, we're sitting there and watching the greatest upset in the history of boxing unfold before our eyes. So that was, you know, quite the show by Buster Douglas, and something that will live on forever in the history of the sport.
Absolutely. That's Ross Greenberg. Extra innings from 9/11, 20 years later, he produced and directed. If there's one thing that everybody should take away from Extra Innings, 9/11, 20 years later, what would that one thing be that you would like everybody to take away?
Well, the word hope, because, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is a moment in time where a tragic event occurred. Many people lost their lives. Loved ones lost their loved ones. And it was difficult. And America had to look in the mirror and say, we have to get through this. And baseball was one of the ways that certain victims and their families got through this. And there's hope. You're never going to forget those that you lost. And it's very difficult to go on day after day and remember those that you lost, sometimes at a very early age. But there is a life to live. There are reasons to live. And all the people in this documentary give us that hope that you can get on from this tragedy. And guess what? Here we are again. Mm-hmm. And that's why the message of this documentary is so important for so many people as we climb out of this horrific pandemic.
Ross Greenberg, Extra Innings from 9/11, 20 years later. Great talking to you. We appreciate it. Best of luck. Hopefully it's a huge success. And And you got to watch it on HBO Max. It's Extra Innings from 9/11, 20 years later. Ross, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Okay, and thanks for having me. And get vaccinated, Texas, please.
We're in. John and I are already
We're all in.
Good.
We're all in.
I'm looking for number three. Of them.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ross.
Everybody else, you hear that? All right, taking a break. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on that, or you want to talk about your Astros? We'll do that on the other side. I got to talk about right now my bookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio for new, current, and former. Listen to this. This is big because I've been telling you forever, if this is your initial deposit, they will double your deposit, right? Up to $1,000. Well, no. They're doubling it for current and former MyBookie customers. If you're new, you're current, or you're a former MyBookie customer, they will double your initial deposit up to $1,000. That is huge. So I'm gonna go and deposit it right now. I'm a current, and all I got to do is put in promo code BET975. They will double it. The best place to bet on sports, you got your football season. It's here. It starts tomorrow night. Laptop, tablet, it doesn't matter. So easy, so fun. Listen, even if you're a current customer, former customer, a new customer, put in promo code BET975 and they will double up to $1,000. That's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.